Checky, checky, check, check. Sally sells seashells by the seashore. Sally sells seashells by the seashore. Trump's Twitter trumps tranny trick twits while he signs tax bills that fuck over divorce-raped men. Trump's Twitter trumps tranny twit tricks as he signs tax bills that fuck over divorce-raped men. That's my vocal warm-ups. What's up, y'all? It is the great one himself, the founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society, CYNLIBSOC.com on the interwebs. You can send me email if you want to. You can send that to God, dog spelled backwards, G-O-D at CYNLIBSOC.com on the interwebs. And you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, moan, look for a safe space. If you're a divorced man, yeah, Donald Trump is putting a cock right up your ass. Now, you can pay taxes on your alimony payments. Oh, the Trump and Fuhrer, he's, yeah, alpha male. Oh, yes, the swamp is draining. Drain that fucking swamp, motherfuckers. How are you guys talking about that? And Obama is going to close Guantanamo Bay any day now. But great one, without the government, who would build the roads? God, I love it. What's up, y'all? Okay, we're going to continue reading this article. Your sex is on fire. It's about how, let's see, millennials represent 50, well, the youth. I don't know what the youth is. We're not getting any actual numbers here. The youth represent over 50% of recorded STI cases. Yes, because you're a bunch of fucking thoughts. Because millennial women are a bunch of fucking whores. And thus, when you whore around, when you ride the cock carousel, when you fuck guys that you met 17 minutes ago in the bathroom at the bar, because they're very alpha and they treated you like shit, yes, you're going to get a fucking disease. That's how that works. Macklin admits there's a lethal convergence of lackluster sexual education, where a federal philosophy of abstinence meets pregnancy prevention. Once again, because women, especially young women, millennial women, don't know how to avoid getting pregnant or avoid getting a venereal disease unless the federal government explains this to them. Because they are strong, they're independent, they are the smartest generation ever, but they can't figure out how to avoid getting pregnant unless the government explains it to them. The result is that a substantial portion of the population, namely the portion of the population that will die of starvation when the Great One turns off the welfare, simply doesn't know the basics of human sexuality. Once again, guys, it is the current year. It is almost 2018. 12 years of public education, 4 years of college, internet, cell phone. How do you not know where babies come from? How do you not know how to avoid getting a sexually transmitted disease? Smartest generation ever doesn't know where babies come from. Smartest generation ever does not know how to avoid getting a disease that is transmitted via the action of having sex. Okay, if it is a disease which is transmitted by sex, hence it's called a sexually transmitted disease, in order to avoid getting a sexually transmitted disease, which is a disease which is transmitted by sex, a smart person, if there were any smart people in the millennial generation, would look at, maybe if I don't want a disease transmitted by sex, maybe if I didn't have sex, I wouldn't get a sexually Why? Why are you people so goddamn dumb? Never mind. Fucking welfare. I know the answer. I know the answer. Welfare, statism, public education, baby boomers, Gen X, low IQ, college, millennials, internet. I can't figure out how to not get a sexually transmitted disease. I'm so baffled. Unsurprisingly, the growth of people infected with common STIs follows suit. Quote, the youth believes, oh, this can't happen to me, or this looks normal, and they feel reluctant to ask tough questions because they think they will be judged by asking STD-related questions, unquote, Macklin adds. Oh my God, you don't want to feel judged. Yes, it's better that you look at your dick and go, hey, look, my dick is, you know, oozing pus. Or you're like, oh, look, my pussy is inflamed and there's fucking white stuff running out of it. I better not ask anybody because I don't want to be judged. Because, of course, we can't type something into Google and see what comes up. Oh, fuck no. We're the smartest generation ever. We're not going to use Google to figure out why there's white pus running out of our pussies, are we? Well, we know. Once again, we know. Because Donald Trump and the Russians infected the millennials with the STDs because Donald Trump hates diversity. We know what's really going on here. In addition to the saturated youth sector, the CDC reports that disenfranchised subgroups, such as homosexuals and bisexual men, Latinos, rural populations, and poverty-stricken populations are also areas where STI rates continue to rise. Yes, once again, because homosexuals, bisexuals, Latinos, people in the country, and poor people are too dumb to fucking figure out that if you stick your dick in a pussy or an asshole that's oozing pus, you might get a disease. I'm sure it's not spelled out so far, but I'm sure this is actually because of the patriarchy. Why are you people all so goddamn dumb? And of course, we know that this doesn't have anything to do with their behavior, their choices. No. It's because the government is not spending enough money. The government is not raising enough taxes on heterosexual white people who work for a living. In 2016, more than 2 million cases of chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis were reported. It's the highest number to ever be recorded in the country. Part of this epidemic, more cases of chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis than ever before. But obviously that has nothing to do with people's behavior. It's because of Republicans, right? It's because of white nationalist. It's because of white supremacist. It's because there's just not enough diversity. It couldn't have anything to do with the behavior of the individuals who have the diseases, or the behavior of the individuals who have sex with the people who have the diseases. Couldn't have anything to do with that, could it? Part of this epidemic, outside of miseducation, once again, God damn it. The education system is controlled by liberals. Have you heard of the internet? No. How is it that we, the royal we, the society, we have the internet, we have public libraries, we have colleges, we have the YouTubes, we have the Google, we have the Wikipedia. There is more information right now in the current year available to the average person than ever in the history of the human species. And yet, people are getting diseases by having sex with infected pussies and infected assholes because of miseducation. How much more fucking information can be? How much more easily accessible does information need to be in order to figure out that if you have sex with a bunch of people, you might get a fucking disease? Part of the epidemic outside of miseducation is attributed to the evolvement of antibiotic resistant bacteria. Because of an overprescribing of antibiotics for years, thank you pharmaceutical corporations that all of you liberals magically support, a new super gonorrhea makes headlines from time to time. It's currently untreatable. Yet, despite the fact that most STIs are still easily detected and cured with screening tests and antibiotics, the growing rate of STI-infected individuals showcase a bizarre illustration of tragic systems failure where public health care is concerned, especially in a society at the peak of information efficiency. Well, that's what I just said. I mean, Obamacare, you got fucking health care is all over the place, and yet you people still get diseases. But it has nothing to do with your behavior, right? It's because the fucking patriarchy is oppressing you. Though there is one way to combat the epidemic, says Macklin. Oh, good. Allison Macklin, the Senior Director of Responsible Sex Education for Planned Parenthood, is going to tell us how to combat this epidemic. Here we go. I can't wait to find out what this is. She feels. Hey, whoa. Time out. A person with a hole between her legs, she has some feelings. She's going to tell us how she feels. You all need to pay attention because this is important stuff. She has some feelings. And if you're not on board with this, you are racist, sexist, you're probably a rapist. You have probably raped every woman on the planet Earth multiple times. You need to fucking pay attention right now because a woman feels. Okay. She feels that the more everyone talks about STIs, the more society normalizes the subject and empowers younger generations. You see, if everyone would just talk about STIs, this would normalize the subject and this would empower the younger generations. Well, I'm talking about STIs right now. I'm empowering younger generations. Right here, right now, I am empowering you. Because you millennials, you're the smartest generation ever. But you can't figure out how to not get syphilis unless I talk about it. If the younger generation is so fucking amazing, why do they need me to talk about STIs in order to be empowered? Why can't they figure this out on their own? What if you spent some of that time on your cell phone that you spend looking at Facebook? What if you just go to Google and fucking type in gonorrhea and read something? Well, I can't figure out how you get gonorrhea. Well, I don't know. You stick your dick in an infected pussy? Well, my sister got gonorrhea. And she got it because Donald Trump and the Russians came to her house and they grabbed her pussy and they infected her. No, she got gonorrhea because she fucked an alpha male. who fucked 13 other women that week, one of whom had gonorrhea. That's why your sister has gonorrhea. It's not because I don't talk about gonorrhea enough. It's not because Donald Trump has orange hair. It's not because motherfucking Republicans voted Republican. It's not because Stormfront is fucking white nationalist. It's not because Lauren Southern is blonde. It's not because the Kilroy faggots are all turning on each other and generally acting like a bunch of leftists. It's because she let an infected dick go inside of her cunt. That's why your sister has gonorrhea. That's it. End of discussion. If you put your dick in an infected cunt, or if you put an infected cock inside your cunt, you get the fucking gonorrhea. That's how that happens. My God, this is so hard to fit. Millennials just can't figure this out. They're just baffled. We're STIs. They can't figure it out. How do people get sexually transmitted diseases? I can't figure it. Must be because Donald Trump cut funding for Planned Parenthood and George Bush was a racist. No, it couldn't possibly have anything to do with where your dick and your cunt go. That's no, of course not. It has nothing to... Personal responsibility? Why, that's fascist. Personal responsibility? That's racist. You can't come to us talking about personal responsibility. You hate disadvantaged peoples. Why do I have so much anger today? God damn. Oh, millennials. Encouraging open and honest conversation with sexual partners and medical professionals also provides everyone with the necessary armor to combat the increase in STIs. No, to combat the increase in STIs, you stop having sex with infected people. God damn it, you're so fucking stupid. You people are so fucking... I'm gonna talk to people! It doesn't matter how many partners someone's had. Yes, it does. Statistically speaking, if you fuck more people, you're going to be more likely to get an STD. Now, if you utilize some screening process, you can decrease that. If you don't utilize any screening process at all, you can increase it. But statistically speaking, the more people you fuck, the more likely you are to get a disease. It does matter. It doesn't matter how many partners someone has, each individual holds the power of self-advocacy. No, they don't. All of you women, basically, if you're not a heterosexual white man with a job, you are a victim. You do not have the power of self-advocacy. That's the entire shtick of the left, is that you are oppressed. You can't prevent yourself from getting pregnant without me helping you. You can't prevent yourself from getting an STD without me helping you. You can't do jack shit without me and my tax money providing for you. You do not have the power of self-advocacy. If you had the power of self-advocacy, you wouldn't have fucking diseases, you wouldn't be poor, and you wouldn't be a fucking parasite. If Macklin had her way, everyone would be regularly tested. There's nothing stopping you from getting tested other than your fucking poverty. Yet I notice you have tattoos and piercings. I notice you're at the bar getting drunk. All that shit costs money. You got money for that. You just don't have money to go get tested for STDs. And so what? You get tested. Okay, you've got an STD. Is that going to stop you from fucking people? Quote, you can't overtest when it comes to sexually transmitted infections. It only takes one sexual act to become infected, unquote, she says. Millennials. All right, where are we at? Do I do this? Do I do that? Do I do this? Oh, I gotta do this. What's on this? Speaking of stupid women, I'm not reading the whole article. I don't, because here's... So you may or may not know there's a dating application for your cell phone called Bumble, in which apparently the woman has to make the first move. So there's not much going on there, obviously. All right. Bumble claims to have the lowest abuse rates of any dating app, 0.005%, though such corporate self-reports can't be verified. Exactly. The lowest abuse... First of all, how do you define abuse? And how do you get that... Anyway, still, it seems like a reasonable possibility if... It seems like a reasonable possibility, if only because men who sign up for an app where women take the lead may be relatively evolved in the first place. It almost makes me think I should just go sign up just to see what happens. I mean, look, here's the thing. If Bumble is an app where the man can't make the first move, in a way, it's kind of ideal because you just sign up and you walk away from it. Because anytime else, as we men, you, I, there's only this one woman who listens to this podcast. She's the woman in South Africa who's married. As we men all know, we have to do all the fucking work. Especially when it comes to women. We have to approach them. We have to start the conversation. We have to ask the questions. We have to keep things moving. We have to ask them if they want to go out. We have to choose which day to go out. We got to decide what time. We got to decide where we're going to... We have to do all the fucking work. Because women are equal. I'm almost tempted to see this fucking Bumble thing. Make a fake profile on there. Or maybe a real one. Who knows? And just find out what happens when women have to do the fucking... What I would be more interested in, and I don't know how you'd get realistic stats on this, I would be interested in seeing what is the rate of return. I would be interested in seeing how many women... And see, and here's the thing, there's so many variables here. I would be interested in seeing how many women find some man and then enter into, I suppose what we'll call a long-term relationship with him via Bumble, where the woman has to do the work, versus other internet dating sites where the man does the work. And yes, there are a lot of variables in there. Because do you look at how many people get married? How many people go to a long-term relationship? How do you define long-term relationship? All that other horseshit. We'll call it the success rate. I would be fascinated to see the success rate of Bumble versus other internet dating apps versus women who have just been out and some man walks up and cold approaches them and says, "Hey, what's up, babe? I saw you and I thought, man, I'd really love to shove my cock inside of her. So you want to go get a drink sometime and see if I can be alpha male enough for you to bend over and let me give you a venereal disease." Plus, Wolf contends, Bumble is perfectly designed to present some version of this scenario. Scenario, that's a new word. I just made that up. This scenario. Okay, here's the scenario. This is what I want to talk about. Guy, "Hey, you're hot." Girl, "I'm sorry, I'm not interested." Guy, "Fuck you, I didn't like you anyway." Sends retaliatory dick pic. Now here's my question for you fucking dumb whores out there. Yes, as opposed to the non-dumb whores. This is up there with the other female fantasies of women, the feminist, I shouldn't say feminist, femistatist, fantasies that, number one, men want them to be pregnant. Femistatist fantasy number two, men want them to smile. And femistatist fantasy number three, men are sending them unsolicited dick photos. I don't think that's happening. I am a man. I have a ball sack. Hang on. I'm going to confirm this right now. Yep, I am touching it right now. There's one. There's two. They're round. They're in a sack. It's got some hair. I have a hairy fucking ball sack. It's right here between my legs. I can put it in your face. I have a ball sack. I can promise you, at no point in my life have I ever even remotely considered sending a picture of my dick to another human, be it male or female or he, she, it, or anything else, as a retaliation. When a man thinks of retaliating against somebody, you think of things like, I don't know, slashing their tires, throwing a rock through their window, pouring salt in their gas tank, killing their dog. Okay, those are retaliation. But sending somebody a photo of your dick. No, that's never entered my mind as being a way to retaliate against someone. I think this is another femistatist fantasy like the others. Right? Femistatists want children really badly, but they hate men. And so that's why femistatists think that men want them to be pregnant. Femistatists are very, very unhappy people. They go through their entire life hating everyone around them, assuming that every man wants to rape them, cannibalizing people who agree with them on politics, the way we see happening in the left right now and also at the right with the Kilroy Conference. Right? They go through their entire life unhappy. It's like Aaron Clary says, have you ever seen a feminist smiling? The answer is you have not, because they're not happy people. That's why femistatists think men want them to smile. I think this is exactly the same thing. Femistatists have this bizarre fantasy that men are going to send them unsolicited pictures of their cocks. Because the femistatist, because of her biological programming, she wants the cock. The femistatist wants cock in her orifices, in her mouth, in her cunt, in her asshole, preferably all three at the same time. She wants cock. She craves cock. She wants the seed to be spilled inside her orifices. But because of her hatred for men and her fucking obesity and her smell and her nasty personality, she's never going to get a cock. And thus, she comes to this conclusion that men want to send pictures of their dicks to her. It's a serious question. Listeners to this podcast, have you ever sent a picture of your dick to a woman in order to retaliate against her for not being sexually or romantically interested in you? Have you ever done that? Can anyone find me one example of where that has actually happened? Once again, you hear all the shit talking. It's like, okay, sweetie, so show me this dick photo this guy sent to you. Well, I deleted it. No, you didn't. If a man sent you a picture of his dick, you would not delete it. You and I both know that. First of all, you'd keep it because you may have never seen a dick before. Second of all, you'd keep it because you keep everything. Show me some evidence of a man sending you a dick picture. Speaking of dicks, let's talk about Matt Forney. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I just didn't have a good segue. Matt, all right, I'm serious. Let's talk about Matt Forney. I have in the past ripped on Matt Forney a little bit because I have some disagreements with Matt Forney. I also have some agreements with Matt Forney. When I first stumbled into the manosphere, Matt Forney was one of the first people I ran across. And I've told this before. You know, I was listening to him and I thought he was much older. Well, not listening. I was reading his writing. This guy's a great writer. I was reading his writing and I'm like, man, this guy's really smart. And I thought he was much older than he was. And Matt, you don't have to come kick my ass. I'm just being honest about all of this. And then I listened to his podcast in the early days and it was terrible. I mean, it was fucking terrible. It was unlistenable. And I saw Matt Forney in a video on the YouTube, and I'm like, dude, that guy is Matt Forney because he looked nothing like what I had envisioned. And nobody ever does, right? That's a fact. No one ever looks like the way you envision them. But I'm like, okay, that he looks kind of overweight and slobbish and blah, blah, blah. Matt, I'm serious. I'm just being honest. I'm not trying to insult you. Just wait for it, Matt. Okay, I'm going to say something nice about you. Just fucking chill. Right, so I sort of tuned Matt out for a while because while there are things where we agree, there are things we disagree, yada, yada, yada. And I had heard a couple of times in the recent-ish past, Aaron Clary talking about how Matt Forney had gotten much better at podcasting. So I'm just, and you know, again, I got my preconceived preconceived biases, if I can learn to use the fucking English language, from, what, 6 years ago or whenever I stumbled on the manosphere? So I have my biases. Finally, I got off my ass and I saw, because I've had Matt Forney, he's on my RSS reader. I download his blog on my RSS, I get his podcast, so I've got all his podcast downloaded. And he put out an episode. It was the Matt Forney podcast, episode 147. It's called Dildoocracy, The God That Failed. And I looked at it, and I looked at the little description, and I was sufficiently intrigued. I said, all right, you know what? Matt Forney is, you know, a dickhead, and he's bald, and he's overweight, and he's a pussy, and all this other, whatever. I listened to it. Guys, holy shit. You talk about a motherfucker who has mastered a skill. Okay, like when I started podcasting skills, I was maybe a 4. And I've gotten a little bit better, but right now I'm just fucking ranting. But I mean, on my good days, I'm an 8. You know, I'm maybe a 7 on average. I still have some days where I'm pretty shitty. I've told you guys this before. Some of my podcasts, I record them when it's done. I'm like, no, that was a piece of shit. I really sucked today. That was not a good podcast. This guy, when Matt Forney started podcasting, he was a fucking 0. This latest episode, I am telling you, you should go to his website and find Matt Forney podcast episode 147, Dildoocracy, The God That Failed, and you should listen to it. This guy has gone from a 0 to like an 8.9. Holy shit, he has done it. He has got the fucking, what do you call it? The shit that I'm not doing right now. The storytelling, the dialoguing, the monologuing. That's what I'm looking for, monologuing. It was really good. And I agree with most of what he says in that podcast. Which is irrelevant because I'm critiquing both. There's two things. There's his skill as a podcaster, and then there's whether or not I agree with what he's saying. Those are two completely different things. His skill as a podcaster, I'm just like, holy shit, the man has turned it the fuck up. So anyhow, now I'm looking and going, now I need to go listen to some more of his podcasts because he's gotten good. So anyhow, I'd be putting a plug in. I disagree with the guy on some stuff. But Matt Forney, the podcast. And anyway, he also in this podcast, he talked about how he's going to stop doing the podcast on a regular basis and just do the podcast when he has something to say. Which is interesting because that's how I started stating the obvious. I used to do stating the obvious only when I had something to say, so it could be weeks or even months between episodes, as opposed to now where I churn out, for the, on the most part, three episodes a week, whatever the fuck I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing. What am I doing? Yeah, Matt Forney's podcast. I'm recommending it. The fuck is this? Roosh. Why? Oh, I did that already. I got that done. New Star Wars movie. Got that done. Okay. Got to talk about this. Got the new Robert Plant album. Yeah, it was kind of, yeah. You know, Robert Plant, he's a great singer, but man, without Led Zeppelin, he's just, without Jimmy Page and John Paul Jones. Yeah. And of course, he's got a song on there about how oppressive white people oppress non-white people. I'm like, dude, please stop. The other, so it was very average. I was not that impressed. The other new album I listened to was the new Roger Waters album, which I mentioned this in passing because I heard a couple of songs on the YouTube, blah, blah, blah. So I finally got the whole album and listened to it. And saying this as Pink Floyd is my favorite band. Roger Waters has most always been a lefty. You acknowledge that. His albums are lefty. Sometimes you can move on with it, whatever. For example, of the Roger Waters solo albums, my favorite one is Amused to Death, which is based on the book. Amusing or what is the fuck is the book called? Where is it? It's on my shelf somewhere. Hold on. There it is. If you have not read this book, then you are losing. You need to read this book. Totally serious. Neil Postman, Amusing Ourselves to Death, Public Discourse in the Age of Show Business. It is all the more relevant now in the world of fake news and the interwebs. Roger Waters' album, Amused to Death, is based highly upon the concepts presented in Neil Postman's book, Amusing Ourselves to Death. It is a great album. It's very soundscapey, and it tells the story. And again, Roger Waters was always the lyricist. His musical skills were not that strong, but his lyrics were fantastic. And of course, David Gilmour was the other way. His lyrical skills are okay, but where he excelled was musically. And so you put Roger Waters and you put David Gilmour together, and then you throw in, you know, Nick Mason and Richard Wright, who Richard Wright never got, I think, good credit for everything he ultimately brought to it. But you put the four of them together, you had the Pink Floyd. You had the greatness. Like the Great One, the founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society, podcasting for 13 years. And when men are afraid of commitment. I'm sorry, sweetheart. I've been podcasting for 13 fucking years. Have you done anything in your life for 13 years? I mean, you know, other than bleeding from between your legs and blaming men for all of your problems. Other than that, is there anything you've done for 13 fucking years? No, I don't want to hear about how I'm fucking afraid of commitment, bitch. Shut your mouth, spread your legs, and take the dick. I've liked all of Roger Waters' albums up to this point. Even, you know, Pros and Cons of Hitchhiking had some mediocre stuff, but there's a couple of good songs. It's a listenable album. This album, Is This the Life We Wanted? I mean, it sounds exactly like Donald Trump won the election, he ran to the studio and just spewed out whatever shit he could get out, like in the next 5 days, and released an album. The songs are unimaginative, they're boring. Then when you listen to the music, you can hear him stealing riffs from Pink Floyd songs. Like at one point, you can very clearly hear Shine On You Crazy Diamond in the background. And then the lyrics are just, it's just the usual fucking, you know, Donald Trump is a leader without a brain and all this other stuff. And he's still obsessed with World War II. I mean, yes, Roger, I understand your father got killed in World War II. Can you let it go? It's just terrible. It's fucking unlistenable. Absolutely fucking terrible. And this is what happens when artists move from creating art to trying to do politics. And this is what's destroying art across the board. It's destroying music. It's destroying theater. It's destroying movies. Because everything nowadays has to be political. You can't just tell a story. You can't just create art. You got to get your fucking politics. Well, Donald Trump is elected by the Russians and he rapes women. Well, okay, that's great. Can you fucking move on? Is there anything else in your life other than your hatred for Donald Trump? Can you let go of how much you hate Donald Trump? But I know you're all about diversity and tolerance and multiculturalism, but your whole fucking world revolves around how much you hate Donald Trump. Hemp Genetics, first U.S. breed hemp. New West Genetics, NWG, just joined into one of the country's most respected ag tech accelerators, the Yield Lab in St. Louis, Missouri. NWG is the first cannabis company to be accepted by Yield Lab, situated in the hub of the country's ag corridor. In 2016, the company's variety Relay I have to see if I can't read or if journalists can't write. Let me try this again. In 2016, the company's variety Relay is the first U.S. hemp seed to pass a Department of Agriculture trial in any state. Do you mean in 2016, the company's variety Relay was the first U.S. bred hemp seed? It's okay. It's just writing. You're a journalism major. You don't need know how to write. You don't need know. I'm a podcaster. I don't need know how to fucking talk complete sentence. And this is the difference between an anarchist and a statist. See, I can make fun of myself because I'm enjoying the decline. Which is a great book by Aaron Clary, by the way. You can get that on Amazon, Amazon.com, the Amazon. You can go to cls.link and you can click on the Amazon affiliate link. You can help me get money to buy a Supergirl figurine that I don't need. And you, in the process of helping me buy a Supergirl figurine I don't need, you could buy the book Enjoy the Decline by Aaron Clary, CaptainCapitalism.blogspot.com. And you could get that book that you do need in order to help you enjoy the decline. Roosh actually talks about this in his podcast, his Kingmakers podcast about the Black Pill, about letting go of things. And he talks about when you should let go and when you shouldn't let go, when you fight back and when you don't fight back. And when he first started talking about it, I thought he was going to be disparaging of people who are enjoying the decline. And so I was prepared to disagree with Roosh. As he went forward. And as he went forward, I'm like, well, no, actually what he's saying makes sense. Yes, you have to pick and choose your battles. And this is something I learned a long time ago. You pick and you choose your fucking battles. That's part of enjoying the decline, right? I can't drain the swamp, not until you guys elect me president in 2024. And then, unlike Donald Trump, who lied to you about draining the swamp and building a wall and all this other shit, no, you think I'm fucking joking. When I'm finished, there will be no more voting at the federal level. There will be no more federal income taxes. There will be no more motherfucking federal laws, regulations. There will be no more federal money. There will be no more federal welfare. The state governments can do whatever the fuck they want, but the great one is not going to talk about draining the swamp. The great one is going to go in there and he's going to fucking kick ass. The great one is bringing all the military back to the United States. Every military base in a country that is not part of the United States, it's done. We're shutting it down. Turn off the water, turn off the power, pack your shit, come the fuck home. The Great One doesn't fucking say shit and just fucking say it to hear the sound of his own voice. Even though the Great One's voice is wonderful. The Great One's voice is a stat. The Great One's voice gives you orgasms. Just hearing me right now, you're thinking, oh my God, half of you are out there jacking off right now. Oh, Great One, you're so hot. No, the Great One is not saying this so that you can fucking whack off. The Great One is saying this because it's going to fucking happen. All you have to do, all seven of my... Actually, I think I'm up to nine people. I think I'm up to nine people who listen to the podcast at this point. The nine of you have to get me elected president. And after that, we can fix all these problems. Dude, I wonder if I could cut a deal with the Russians to get me elected. Because we all know Donald Trump didn't win fair and square. Nobody voted for Donald Trump. That was obviously the Russians did that. All right, anyway. CEO Wendy Mosher states, quote, "We recognize not all cannabis will be grown outside due to regulatory hurdles. However, as much as can be grown outside should. It is the right choice to make for increasing the sustainability of the industry and the feasibility choice economically, which equates to more value to the dollar for consumers and patients," unquote. All right, I didn't even really click to this the first time I read this, but hold on a second. "We recognize not all cannabis will be grown outside due to regulatory hurdles." So there are regulations that prevent you from growing a plant outside. Now, I recognize that many of my listeners are statist. And this is why I ridicule you so much when it's like the roads. Without government, how could you make a flat place on the ground? I can't figure it out. It's too complicated. Only the government can make ground roads. It's so complex. There are regulations that prevent people from growing plants outside. This is what the government is doing, is preventing people from growing plants outside. New West Genetics focuses on creating large-scale, harvestable, seed-based cannabis genetics for the United States marketplace, like farms and large crops. The company breeds hemp varieties that are tailored for various end uses, like CBD oil or paper. The company promotes well-bred genetics. They make hemp accessible. Nice buzz phrase. They solve production challenges like pest and disease resistance. So in other words, this is where I'm going with this, they do genetic engineering. It's selective breeding and genetic engineering of hemp, marijuana, weed. I find this interesting. The reason I'm talking about this is because the left-wing statist hippies are all terrified of genetic engineering and GMOs and all this other shit. Oh, unless it involves marijuana. Because by God, we love our marijuana. We love smoking our dope and getting high. Why do I have so much anger? I can't figure this out. I was so happy 2 hours ago. It's just a matter of-